You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
All right, let's do this again, baby. Ooh, you can see, you can hear me better now, baby.
Look at those waves.
Look at those waves. Just sending shock waves through, like I wore a do-rag for days.
I'm keeping that all in. We're going to start recording. Let's do it.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Sam Jam Packard, the great.
Live in person in L.A., baby.
Live in person in L.A., following a most frustrating 108-107 Celtics loss. We'll break it all down for you. Marcus Smart's final shot. The collapse, really, in the fourth quarter against the Lakers and Kyle Kuzma. The ugly-ass first quarter. We got everything. We got reactions to everything. It was a wild, wild game. Before we continue, you are listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you don't subscribe to us already, you can search for us in iTunes, Spotify, wherever else you listen to podcasts. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever. So please do that if you haven't already. All right, let's start at the end, because Marcus Smart took a potential game winner, and it was a step back three.
down only one.
And it almost went in, but it didn't. And Kyrie Irving didn't touch the ball, and nobody else touched the ball. And Al Horford was sitting on the bench after taking a hit to the face. And did you think, were you terribly frustrated with Marcus Smart for the look he got?
No. In the moment, you have 5 seconds, no timeouts. You're trying to go down the court. I thought he had a chance. If he immediately passed the ball to Terry Rozier, he could have had a better look. But with that point, he was trying to take the ball to the rim. KCP cut him off, hit him with the behind-the-back dribble. He had a really good shooting performance. Other than that, I think he was like finished the night 7 for 13. He was feeling it tonight. I thought the shot had a chance to go in. I can't really blame Marcus Smart for that shot. I mean, there's a lot of things that the Celtics did pretty poorly tonight. They really had no business being in this game. They were down 6 with 26 seconds to play. Josh Hart and KCP both missed both of their free throws, only to give them a chance. Really, that you should be frustrated with the Celtics for how they played defense in the third and early fourth quarter. I mean, we're all going to focus on Smart because that's the shot, but the fact that basically Kyle Kuzma just ripped the whole heart and soul out of the team. He single-handedly just went on 12 point swing by himself in the early fourth quarter. That's where the game was lost. It wasn't lost just on this one Marcus Smart decision.
Yeah, I thought so too. And then Julius Randle bullied them down low, and Kuzma destroyed them in the fourth. The Lakers were getting a ton of putback opportunities in the fourth when things were going their way. The Celtics, they only had 10 free throw attempts, which is something that has stuck out as an issue since early December. Brad Stevens has been talking a lot lately about how the Celtics need to get more layups, more free throws, and convert more layups and free throws. That last play, obviously you want the ball in Kyrie Irving's hands. And the Celtics, if they had a play, last play, a million times, 999,000, whatever, are going to Kyrie Irving. With 5.7 seconds left after a miss, with no timeouts left, it's just really, really tough to get the ball exactly where you want it. And I think you're right. Smart might have looked off Rozier, might have been able to get a better opportunity, maybe going to the hoop if he had hit Rozier early in the play. Irving, I don't think Irving was a realistic option.
He was completely non-factor.
He was like sprinting from the opposite corner around the arc, and he even if he had gotten the ball, it would have been with like minuscule time left, and he would have been 30 feet away from the basket. And yeah, you could say, okay, well, I'd rather have Kyrie with the ball 30 feet from the basket than Marcus Smart basically anywhere. But I think Smart was put in a really tough situation, and it wasn't all on him. You're right. The third quarter was just brutal, man. Just brutal. And the offense was brutal earlier on. The offense, Tatum is just in a funk right now.
So is Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown's in a funk. Yeah, Jaylen Brown wasn't even on the court toward the end of the game. Brad Stevens had him off the court. So just a weird kind of funk for the Celtics and some of their younger guys over the last four games. Now the losing skid is at four. The offense has just been destructive, self-destructive for a while now. And to me, it's like they've just got to get to the hoop. And Tatum missed like, what did he miss, two or three easy layups?
He missed the layup. Some layups he didn't even get there. It feels like over the past couple weeks, he's really like just gathering and approaching. He just throws it straight up into the air. It makes very little sense after this dude who comes in and just like, has the longest arms and making all these crazy reverses for him to just not be able, like, some people on Twitter are being like, he's a new father, like, he's going through all these things. Like, I don't have kids, so I don't know, but, like, that kid's 2 months old. Like, he was playing pretty well immediately after his son's birth, so I don't know. Is there, like, you've debated the idea of a rookie wall. You don't really believe it, but the Celtics are relying pretty heavily on their two young wings to basically attack the basket and to kind of generate offense for them. If both of those guys are struggling at the same time, they're going to struggle to score the basketball. Plus, you throw in Terry Rozier having one of his down stretches where he had this great like five or six games, and then he's followed it up by just not being very consistent, especially shooting. The Celtics are going to really struggle to generate offense, and I just don't know how you get them more free throws, because it feels like they're trying to attack the basket. It's just not great at drawing fouls at this point.
Yeah, and it's weird how much they rely on Tatum and Brown, considering entering this season. I don't know if anybody knew to expect a lot from those guys. And obviously the Gordon Hayward injury changed things, and those two guys have been a lot more ready, I think, than anyone really anticipated. But when they struggle a little bit, as they have lately, the Celtics struggle with them. And I think tonight was a kind of a weird game, because Marcus Smart was great. Marcus Smart in the first half, 15 points, 4 assists, 5 for 8 shooting, 3 for 6 from behind the arc, and that included a last-second heave at the end of the second quarter, classic Smart heave. And Marcus Morris, I thought, was pretty good. Like, he took a ton of shots early.
He had so in multiple possessions where he was the only one who touched the basketball. And I think I reached out on Twitter asking what we should call him, but they called the singularity.
The singularity. I like that.
But he was good tonight.
Yeah, and I thought what was cool about his game was the Celtics found ways to utilize him in the post against mismatches. And he wasn't settling in the post for fadeaways. He was punishing the mismatches at the rim. And I thought that was the most promising part of the Marcus Morris experience tonight, which is definitely an experience.
All right, before we move on to talk about the defense, we got to talk about our main friends, Draft.com, or the Draft app. This is going to be a Draft Wednesday by the time you guys are listening to it. We do this every Wednesday. You use Draft app. I will post it. Follow me on there at Raining Jam. You get $3 for free entry. You can play me. I'm basically just giving money away. Jay King's too much on his hustle to be joined in the Draft app, but he supports it nonetheless. It's basically the best daily fantasy sports. You get to engage in a snake draft every single night. So if I'm drafted against you and I draft Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, they're on my team for that night. There's no like professional people running algorithms like trying to figure out how to beat me. You just get to play like against dummies like me who are just giving money away. So download the Draft app. Follow me at Raining Jam, or follow John Corrales. I'm blanking on his username right now, but it's probably Locked On John or Red's Army John, something around that. Just follow him on Twitter. You know where to find him. And you get, if you use the promo code LOCELTICS, you get $3 in your first entry. I'll be running drafts all day tomorrow. I might be a little delayed because it's on West Coast time, but if you want to play a draft, just challenge me, and it'll be fun. You can take my money. I've been losing money all year just for you guys. But let's get back to the defense. The thing that I thought was interesting about the Celtics defense tonight, it feels like when they go small, they have a real inability to kind of protect the rim and protect the paint. It felt like when Tice was in the game, basically Kuzma was driving by anyone who could on the perimeter, and Tice wasn't providing the best rim protection. And that's, we saw the huge free throw disparity. Do you think the Celtics have a size issue specifically on defense? Because Aaron Baines was god-awful tonight. He only played 10 minutes, had like four fouls.
Poor Baines picked up so many fouls. Four fouls in 4 minutes in the third quarter, and then I don't think he played again.
He didn't. And I thought it was they went away from Marcus Morris down the stretch. He didn't play in the final, I think, like 6 minutes of the game. He could have offered some kind of help there on rebounding, but it feels like a consistent pattern is when Horford's playing the five and you have someone like Tatum playing the four, Horford's going to be your main help defender on a drive. He's immediately out of position for offensive rebounds, and that's when you see kind of guards come in and get like huge plays tonight. I don't think the Celtics have really come up with a great answer for playing small, because clearly their rebounding suffers a bunch when Horford's at the five, and they don't have like a guy who can play, I guess, bigger than Horford and have their offense still kind of be five out. Tice just isn't a good enough three-point shooter at this point.
Yeah, they need their wings to really rebound the ball in those situations, and they didn't. Kuzma, that one putback Kuzma had was just huge. One play that I thought really changed things that we haven't talked about yet is when Marcus Smart threw an alley-oop to Jaylen Brown.
Oh, yeah, juice, man.
The Celtics were up 2, I think, at the time, and Marcus Smart got a steal. Marcus Smart went in on a fast break, and he threw a pretty good alley-oop pass to Jaylen Brown, and Brown just botched it. And it felt like from that point, Kuzma hit a 3 like 2 seconds afterward. Like
that was right in the middle of the Kuzma supernova. He had hit a 3 before that. He had hit another 3 before that. Then that play happened, and then he immediately comes down and hits a 3.
Behind the back joint.
Oh, yeah,
too.
He did the behind the back. And then Jaylen, after missing the dunk, follows that up by fouling him on a 3. Like, Kuzma was amazing. Like, I've seen all the highlights and heard about it, but I just didn't know he could take over a game like that. But you're right. That play felt like it totally swung momentum where the Celtics were up 6 and late with like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Kuzma goes on this run to tie it. You thought maybe that was like the Celtics counterpunch, and then the Lakers basically led the rest of the way. If it wasn't for their horrendous free throw shooting, they should have just put this game away.
And they dominated the rest of the way. Kyrie hit some tough shots, hit some really critical shots to kind of give the Celtics a chance. But then he had that, I don't even know if it was his turnover or Al Horford's turnover, where he hit Horford near the hoop.
That's totally on Horford. He nailed Horford. It was like a very quick pass on a pick and roll, and it would have hit him in the hands. Went out
I think
of
it would have tied the score, maybe.
Yeah.
That was a big one. Like, Celtics just let a lot of opportunities go by. And we've talked about this a couple times. Like, they were kind of due for games like this. But now they've strung together a few games like this, and all these games have been winnable games, the last four games.
They're only winnable because the Celtics pull off some crazy nonsense, mostly led by Marcus Smart towards the end. Like, in the Pelicans game, I feel like they had no business really being in, and they kind of willed themselves into the game in the final couple minutes. They haven't really put together a full 48-minute performance. It feels like they play super shitty for a quarter and then are just trying to claw their way back in the rest of the game. And it doesn't get any easier with the next two games, next three games, really. You play the Clippers on a back-to-back who are playing better. Lou Will's going off. Then you have the Warriors, and then you have to go to Denver and play in altitude with a kind of a team that they barely beat when Jokic wasn't playing in Boston. So I don't know how exactly – I don't know, like, there's no clear fix for me to try and – it doesn't seem like – I mean, you can question their effort. I mean, that's something Stevens talked about today on their transition offense, not really getting into the corners. But there's no clear, like, player or no clear way for them to fix kind of the offensive woes. You just kind of hope that Tatum and Jaylen Brown get it going again.
And some of it is just making shots. Like, they took 40-something threes today, and they had a halfway decent percentage. It was like 34% or something like that, I think they were. and, you know, just a couple more threes, and all of a sudden it feels different. If Tatum hadn't botched a few layups, all of a sudden things feel different. If Horford had caught that pass toward the end, if Jaylen Brown had delivered that alley-oop into the hoop, things feel different. But they just haven't been able to string things together lately. And it's just, the first quarter was just a mess on offense. They defended like hell. It was just a gross, gross first quarter of two teams really competing. But they really just haven't played well. And it's weird. When you look at the Celtics lineups, their starting lineup with Baines is the only one of their top four used lineups with a positive point differential. And that's just weird. Like, of a team that's as good as they are, to have that is bizarre. And so the Marcus Morris starting lineup has been no bueno.
That's the problem, is they don't have a good crunch time lineup right now, because you can't... Baines doesn't play down the stretch, just because the Celtics, that he... their offense, like, the reason they have a positive point differential is because that's their best defensive lineup with Baines in the game. But their offense with him in the game is just not great. And if you're going to go bucket for bucket, you just can't have him in there unless he finally makes a corner three. Like, I thought it was happening tonight. I thought tonight was the night. But he really, like, doesn't spread the floor at all. Like, they're the best when they're going five out. They can dribble. They can, like, run pick and pops with Horford at the top of the key. I don't know what their best crunch time lineup is. I know Marcus Smart's in it, but I know Kyrie's in it. I know Al Horford's in it. You would think it would be Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but with those two guys struggling, it's just kind of, they don't have, right now it's Terry Rozier had a great final couple of minutes tonight where he scored, I think, the Celtics' last 5 points, but he was struggling so far, and I just don't know where they turn to and kind of down the stretch for, like, a go-to scoring and guys who can still hold their own on defense.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to force Marcus Morris into that role. And even though they haven't been great typically with Marcus Morris in that role, and I do think if they're going to maximize things, like you said, they need to figure out how to play small, and they need to figure out how to play with Marcus Morris. But it's kind of been an issue, and it's kind of been tough. And when even the lineup with Smart, Kyrie, Tatum, Brown, and Horford, I thought that was going to be their best lineup. I thought it was going to be really, really good. But it's kind of been like the IT and D lineups, where they score a bunch of points and give up a bunch of points and don't really end up outscoring the opponent by too much. So when they go small, they have kind of some of the same issues that they had last season. And the rebounding issues and the defensive issues and the giving up points in the paint issues. So they need to, you're right, they need to figure that out.
So with the trade deadline kind of fast approaching, do you see the Celtics making a move at this point? And I've seen a lot of different things talking about people like Tyreke Evans. People think they need a guard off the bench. To me, that doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like they need a stretch five. And I know that's, like, easier to say because a stretch five who's also pretty big and can rebound just doesn't exist. Like, there's, like, four of those, and they're just not getting traded. But I don't know. Do you see them making a move? It doesn't feel like Danny Ainge is the type of guy who would, like, mortgage anything for, like, to go in for, like, a... Basically, they're only going to try, for, like, trade for an expiring contract. Like, Danny Ainge doesn't make moves... Actually, he doesn't make moves for rentals, really. I feel like he makes moves for, like, guys like Rodney Hood, for, like, people they can get value later. But I don't just, like, there's no players that stand out to me for the Celtics to add right now. I don't know what you think about that.
To me, I don't know about stretch five. When you look at it, a stretch four might work.
Anyone who's, like, big and can still shoot the three. That's all I...
Yeah.
You'd think Marcus Morris would fit that role. Maybe it's just him playing 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, maybe. I do think there's another level to Marcus Morris, and there's another level the Celtics will reach with Marcus Morris. And I know he has his issues, like shot selection at times, and I understand he's an imperfect player, but they can play better with Marcus Morris on the court than they have been playing. The on-off stats, I don't think they'll always be as unkind to him as they have been so far, in a lot of ways, and especially when he plays with their better players. I do wonder if they'd be better off. It's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. Someone who would be a great pickup would be like an in his prime Jared Dudley.
Yeah, a not obese Jared Dudley.
Yeah, like if Jared Dudley was in his prime on a contract the Celtics could fit, then he's the type of player who can like switch some positions and shoot threes and be, you know, spread the court for those guys and play with Horford or play with another big guy and maybe not like isolate and do crazy shit sometimes.
Yeah.
like Marcus Morris occasionally does.
Well, the player you're basically describing is just Jason Tatum when he's playing well. Like a guy who's switchable, can shoot the three, like
get another Jason
just
Tatum.
Get Jason Tatum again. Or just get back to Jason Tatum like being like the guy we saw earlier in the season, Mr. 14-6, because clearly like he's not playing as well as he did earlier in the season and feels like it has a huge impact. Before we get to the hashtag Rain Jays, one little bit of side news. Al Horford made the All-Star team. Should surprise no one, but apparently Lou Maloney's mad online about it, saying he's average and saying that the...
Lou Maloney knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Lou Maloney sees all the outrage when he starts to average Al talk, and Lou Maloney is just trolling all you Celtics fans. Everybody out there, do not pay attention to Lou Maloney. Lou Maloney... opinion about Al Horford is totally stupid, totally off base, and totally not worth your time. So don't respond to him. Don't stoke the flames. If nobody responds to him, he'll stop doing it because he doesn't actually believe that shit. He just says it. And if he does actually believe that shit, he's a moron.
Now, I know Sweet Lou Maloney. I worked with Sweet Lou Maloney, and I agree with everything he just said. He doesn't know anything about basketball. Any other reactions to the All-Star team? Do you think anyone got snubbed? I mean, Andre Drummond was pretty upset. He's always upset.
He plays for a mediocre team, and he's a pretty good big man. Like,
the only thing is, like, do you think John Wall and Kyle Lowry both deserve to make it? Those were like the only kind of complaints I could think of. They're not having amazing seasons.
Who do you put in?
Andre Drummond.
Dragic? Andre Drummond? No, I'll take John Wall and Kyle Lowry, man. Even though they're not having good seasons, they're better than Andre Drummond, and they're better than whoever else would have gone in over them. So I was totally cool with the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. I didn't really pay much attention to for some reason.
There are not as many snubs out there. Lou Will was a little ups.
Lou Will kind of deserved
it. I thought Lou Will deserved to get some buckets.
Lou Will over the last month and a half or so
has been balling out.
As almost as good as anyone? That's a wild claim.
We're going to see Lou Will tomorrow. Lou Will's going to drop 30 tomorrow. That's my prediction. But, yeah, that's the all-star take. Let's get to the hashtag Reigning Jays. This is from at BrunoSosa92. Bad officiating against the Seas is frustrating. Look at the disparity of free throws. Every game, same story. And please tell Tatum not to try and dunk every effing play. I didn't think it was like that poorly officiated. And I think it's like the free throw disparity is on the Celtics, not on the refs.
When it's every game, same story, it's because the Celtics are bad at drawing free throws.
That's fair. Celtics allowed too many offensive rebounds tonight, and Smart definitely whiffed on that final shot. Tito, three sticks, was wide open. Tito spelled wrong on the wing. I think we already explained that, but
and he wasn't really wide open.
He needed to hit him immediately. Like, if Smart got the rebound and immediately outlet to Tito, then you had an option. But Jordan Clarkson was the defender there. Our main man, the Riffmeister, has broke down the film Zapruder style. Like, that window was closing. I don't know. That's a kind of a crazy argument. But thanks to Alec Aglack 11B. This one from Patrick Capriglione. That shot Horford took could cause another concussion. I don't know what he's referring to, but Al Horford tonight like left the game after trying to trap Brandon Ingram, and he took a shot in the head.
That's the shot he's referring to, Sam. Not an actual shot to the head.
You're right.
Horford seemed fine after the game.
He didn't even leave the bench. Like, I thought he was fine.
Maybe Sam's concussed.
I think it might be, man. It's jet lag or something. LA nightlife's undefeated. The thing I thought was interesting is, like, Kyrie hit his left knee on Larry Nance's knee at some point during the game, and he looked to be, like, touching it a bunch or like hobbling around when play wasn't happening. He said it was fine after the game, but especially with a back-to-back, it'll be interesting to see kind of what his performance is tomorrow against the Clippers, just because he looked to be in more pain than I thought like people were actually paying attention to.
I bet he'll get buckets tomorrow too.
I mean, he stays getting buckets. He's a professional bucket getter, but that's what happens. From Reynaldorio82, Celtics deserve every bit of this L, including Bradbot.
Ooh, little Brad Stevens criticism.
People criticized him for taking Kyrie 2 out. I mean, I never really blame him for his rotations. I feel like he knows more about like what the players are currently playing like at the same time. But, you know, at some point the players got to rest. So, I don't know. From Donald Skroberg at Skroberg, shout out to D Scroats, one of our most active listeners. One of these days, Baines will make that three, and when he does, I will buy him a boat myself.
You know what's funny? He was shooting corner threes at halftime.
And he does it every halftime.
And he was making them.
He has the ability.
And I thought to myself, I almost tweeted, tonight's the night Aaron Baines makes a corner three. And he got a shot like a few minutes later, almost.
And then just immediately fouled someone after missing it.
Yeah, for like the ninth time.
This is at Alex at Straight No Chaser. That Kyrie 3 going to his right off the pick is a thing of beauty. Kyrie had a nice little run there in the second quarter where I think he made like scored 9 consecutive points, and he just had a sweet crossover off a Al Horford pick and roll, nailed the 3. I agree, Alex. Kyrie is good at basketball. Here's a crazy question before we get to the Raining Junk. It's probably good enough to transition to Raining Junk. Not related to Lakers, this is from Phil Getson, but hear me out. Let's say Bron, for some reason, decides he wants to go to the Celtics next year. Do they take him? If so, what do they give up? Well, they give up nothing because he's a free agent. And
well, you'd have to cut salary, so you'd have to give up something. You'd have to trade guys for no
salary. Would you trade Gordon Hayward, just in general, not even in a LeBron conversation, for pieces? Because they're already a pretty good team right now without him. You're going to have another year.
Have you seen the 30th ranked defense throughout the month of January?
I have. I've been watching every single game.
Did you see them lose their last 4 games? Have you seen their average ass offense and the way their ball movement can stop and the way...
Yeah, but I also saw them win 17 games in a row at the beginning of their season? Ebbs and flow.
No, they're not going to trade Gordon Hayward, man. Like, let's take it easy. I told you this was transitioning into
Raining Junk. We have two hashtag Raining Junks questions, again from Donald Skroberg. I hate to put this on such a young child, but the Tatum Todd is responsible for everything that's going wrong for me right now. Not even for the Celtics. For Donald Skroberg personally, the Tatum Todd is the issue, who's actually in L.A.
Let's not pin this on Deuce, Jason Tatum Jr.
Is that a J. King original, or is that
He called his son Deuce on Instagram. So you got to stay up on the Instagram.
I'm on IG, best believe me, at White Black Frank
White. I will
White.
Say, though, the Tatum Todd was in L.A. Not saying the Tatum Todd...
Hey, man, Tatum Todd's bi-coastal. Don't limit him. All right, let's get to my own personal Raining Junk. It was Jerry Buss night tonight at the Garden. Not the Garden, the Staples Center. And he just they showed a bunch of images of him. Real cool mustache in the 1970s. I thought he's a cool-looking dude.
Dope mustache.
Lakers PA calls him Terry Rozier III, which is something Eddie Palladino doesn't do. And I felt validated by it. It felt like Tito Three Sticks lived on. Tatum had, even when Tatum's shitty game, he had that one incredibly fucking saucy moment behind the back, up and under, and then he just missed the layup. Like, I don't know. Like, he still has the sauce potential, but I don't know what was happening with there.
But he also got a tech.
Yeah.
Tatum tech.
I thought he was swearing, but people on Twitter told me it's just because he, waved off the ref and said, that's ridiculous. And someone said, that was a point of emphasis, 4 years ago. I much preferred if he's, called the ref a motherfucker. That would have been, way better, but... waving off the official seems much more reasonable for Jason Tatum.
Seems much more of a Tatum move.
Yeah.
Didn't deserve it. Didn't deserve the tech.
Let's talk about Kadeem Allen dropping 46 points tonight for the Red Claws.
That was unexpected. Kadeem Allen is a defense-first guy. Kadeem Allen averaged 9.5 points last year at Arizona as a 20, 9-year-old senior. He was actually like 24. But going off for 46, Kadeem.
The G League's wild. Anything can happen in the G League at any night. I hear some wild stories from the G League, and it sounds like a good place.
We should point out that Jarrell Eddy
got in the game.
Made his debut.
Rocking the number 9 jersey with Eddy on the back. I thought it was a cool look. He immediately missed a three and then fucked up an offensive possession and was gone after that. But
yeah, but he got in.
He got in. He got in over Shemmy. Shemmy hasn't played at all recently after that crazy like Nets performance. But you know what? Who am I to complain? Floyd Mayweather was in the building tonight, but didn't show up till halftime.
Respect.
But the thing I noticed was that there was a guy in a Team Money. What's this called?
Money Team.
What is it? It's like TMT, right? It's
Team, The Money Team.
The Money Team. It's not Team Money Team?
No, it is not Team Money
There was a guy in a TMT hat and a TMT chain who was just chilling there from like before the game. So his entire job in the entourage is just to show up to things early and just like make sure everything's cool. Like
first of all, Floyd rolls deep.
He does.
When he comes to game. He's got like some goon-looking security guards. Floyd has been to, I think this is his first Celtics game this year.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him there because he's
Isaiah Thomas guy.
Yeah. But you know what? Maybe Celtics are in LA. He still has some friends on the team. Did you see this? The guy who was wearing the red leather jacket who walked by the media section a bunch?
No.
Where he was basically wearing it like, it was a rat, like at his navel, at his belly button, and then the rest was open, and he was wearing a ridiculous hat. This is my first time in LA. Very wild scene around the games. I didn't notice anyone famous. But it's just everyone kind of looked a lot fancier.
You know the guy in the GIF, the like Lakers. Famous. I saw him.
Oh, nice!
I saw him at the game. I don't know who he is. I think he's someone famous, but I saw him. Who else did I see? Kareem. Kareem was there. He's pretty famous.
Apparently, he was trying to hawk his book on TNT, Players Only. But
respect.
Other than that, no celebrities in the crowd. I don't know. I was kind of disappointed from my first LA game.
Maybe you'll see some at the Clippers game tomorrow.
Who knows?
Speaking of, we're sitting in the photo dark room right now, which is actually not a dark room at all. It's just like literally just a room. But there are photos on the wall of Enrique Iglesias and Jennifer Lopez. We got One Direction.
New Kids on the degrees, Block.
Boys to Men. So
some serious stars have come into this building.
Shout out to us for recording in this strange room.
Shout out to the Staples Center for allowing us to do that. That's coming here to wrap it up for the rain and junk. I don't know if you had any other observations from this game. We get back tomorrow night against the Clippers. 4-game losing streak for the Celtics. I didn't think that would happen. This team seemed like a mentally strong team with the growth mindset. But who knows? We'll see what happens tomorrow against the Clippers.
One last thing we should talk about. Gordon Hayward showing up in LA and the Celtics being very, very, very intent on planning his recovery to every detail. Like, they have wanted him to be as engaged as possible. They have wanted him to be as excited as possible. They've wanted him to have as much fun as possible. And now they have sent him to the West Coast.
Just to, like, simulate travel.
To basically get out of the monotony of the day-to-day. And I think he went to his house in San Diego. He's had some Celtics trainers with him. He will continue to have Celtics trainers with him for the next week or 10 days on the West Coast. While he just has a change of scenery and probably enjoys some nice weather. So
Brad mentioned something about not like expecting him to start doing drills or something until early March.
Travel
with the team until early March. So that, I have no idea what the actual rehab schedule is, but I'm still pinning 3/23 because the all-seeing eye of Kyrie Irving. They were both born on that day. It just makes too much sense at this point. Early March, he starts traveling with the team. Mid-March, he starts like playing some 5-on-5. 3/23, he comes back. It all makes sense. I don't even know if they have a game on 3/23, but it just feels right. The all-seeing eye of Kyrie Irving, I believe in it.
Yeah, I mean...
I have Jay King is speechless. I think it's the perfect...
Sam believes in it. We'll put it that way.
It's
Sam.
The growth mindset. I read the book by... I'm going to say bye, Brad Stevens, on the flag out here. It's all just about believing in hard work. And I think with your guys' help, our belief, Gordon Hayward coming back March 23rd. Book it.
Question. Do you think Jason Tatum has lost some confidence in his jumper? That's one thing I was thinking about, and your comment about the growth mindset reminded me of that, because he's never been a guy who shot threes. He's never been a guy who's been a great three-point shooter. It's not like he is like this seasoned vet who's going through a slump and he's like, I know I'll get out of it. He's a 19-year-old who for the first time in his life was making three-pointers and doing it at a totally unsustainable clip for a long time.
And doing it very efficiently where he was only attempting the ones that were kind of wide open, and then everyone's like, Tatum needs to do more. He starts to try and like to take more attempts and his efficiency goes down. I think that would make sense. Like the rookie wall, like physically doesn't make sense to me, but kind of that mental aspect or the kind of psychological aspect, that would be losing confidence in that kind of makes sense. He hasn't been playing as well. He seems a little bit more like hesitant. He's fucking up a bunch around the rim, like not finishing layups. Confidence feels like it would play a big factor in that. So who knows? It could happen.
Who knows? But also, maybe he doesn't really feel emotions and could be totally confident.
Tatum tot. Like, he had just had a child. That's probably a huge life moment for him. Maybe it's the stuff off the... I don't know. Who knows? We'll break down the psychology of Jason Tatum.
The Tatum tot is a blessing, people. The Tatum tot is a blessing.
Life is a blessing.
I just want to make sure that we point that out. We don't blame everything on the Tatum tot. That's where we should end. We should end with the Tatum tot. We should end with telling you guys, if you don't subscribe to the podcast already, search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever else. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever. And we are done with this episode. Thank you for listening. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales.